You to see another day that was not promised. It was many people who were here last week who aren't here this week. And so for no other reason, we are thankful that God has allowed us to have another day in the land of the living. Come on, give God some praise. If we can affirm our youth today, we thank God for their willingness. We're not going to see them in the hospital. We're not having to go to the school and talk to the principal, but they are here worshiping and praising a true and a living God. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord on this morning. It's coming down to the end of the school year. Things are getting a little crazy, but I'm thankful that God is still working things out. For those of you all who are not with us during our time of sharing, our scripture today will be coming from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses number 14. You can either follow along in your Bible or look up at the screen. And the word of God reads, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then," somebody say then, "then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land." Let us pray. Speak now, God, for your servants are listening. A word that might truly change and transform lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I have a confession. You know, confession's good for the heart. So yesterday when we were in our strategic planning meeting, our facilitator asked a question: what is your commitment to being here in the session? And my commitment to being in the session was to turn myself away or completely block myself from the outside world. And so I ended up turning off my cell phone. I ended up closing my computer. And for those of you all who know me, that's a big deal. And, you know, I was good for like the first 2 hours. You know, it's like, okay, you know, actively participating. But about that second hour, I was like, I just feel a little weird. You know, I don't know what's going on in the outside world. You know, I was trying to be actively engaged, and I had this internal struggle in my mind going on, like, okay, I want to be actively engaged, but I just don't know what's going on outside. I want to be actively engaged, and I want to be actively here, but, you know, I'm just not used to not being disconnected from what's going on around me. And as I begin to think about that, and as I begin to process through that, I was like, that's a problem. And oftentimes in our spiritual journey, we find ourselves not being able to be disconnected from work, not being able to be disconnected from social media, not being able to be disconnected from what's going on. And because of our lack of being able to be disconnected, we oftentimes are not connected into what God has for us. Oftentimes because we're so concerned about what people think, and we're so concerned, you know, about what's going on and who has posted what, and what's going on in the White House, and what's going on internationally, and what's going on with my ex-girlfriend or my ex-boyfriend. We really don't connect in to what God has for us. And so it's so interesting. And as we move forward and as we really begin to seek the vision that God has for us, it's going to be important that we are connected to what God is saying. It's going to be important when the naysayers and those who are questioning and those who don't understand come and they ask you questions and they try to find out what that insider information is, that we realize that we are connected to what God is doing in this place. There are going to be some things that might happen. There are going to be some changes that might come that you might not understand. But because we are connected to what God is saying, because we are connected to the Spirit of God, and because we are connected to the voice of God, we oftentimes will be able to move forward, or we oftentimes will be able to move in a direction that God might be calling us in, even though we don't know what lies ahead. And so for our time together, I would like to preach very quickly from the subject, stay connected. Touch your neighbor and say, stay connected. Amen. Touch your neighbor on the other side and say, stay connected. Amen. Now, though we hear this passage very often used on a Sunday to Sunday basis, it's very basic, but it holds some things and some tools that we can really utilize when it comes to staying connected. If you've ever wondered, well, Reverend Holt, I try to stay connected. You know, I try to get engaged, but it just seems like I just don't have like a 1, 2, 3 or a roadmap on how I go about staying connected. This passage here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is a very clear example and gives some very clear steps of what we need to do in order to stay connected. And during our time together, these are the things that we're going to be preaching about. The first thing that we need to do is humble ourselves. Somebody say, humble yourselves. And in humbling ourselves, we acknowledge that there is a gap that exists. We acknowledge that there's something separating us from where God wants us to be. There's something disconnecting us from our communication relationship with God. There's something disconnecting us from moving in the direction that God wants us. There's something holding us back from really moving in the direction that God wants us to be. And you know, I'm a visual person. And so I want to talk today about some of the things that are gaps in our lives. Because truth be told, some of us are sitting here saying to ourselves, I don't have no gap. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm good. I got it all together. I come to church. I pay my tithes. You know, I show up to Bible study every once in a while. I may show up to Sunday school if I feel right. And I got it all together. But for those of the rest of us who want to be transparent and want to be honest, I want to talk about some of the things that are gaps today in our lives. Touch your neighbor and say, we're going to learn about gaps. One of the first gaps that we have comes in a tall bottle. It may come in a short bottle. Or it may come in a small bottle. Now, whether the name on this bottle is Jack Daniels, whether the name on this bottle is Ciroc, whether the name on this bottle is Michelob or Marlboro, whatever it may be, oftentimes this is a gap in our life. And as we talk about gaps, I want you to understand a gap is anything that you do in your life on a regular basis that you spend your time, energy, and resources on more than you spend your time developing your relationship with God. You've got to acknowledge that a gap exists. Some of y'all may have a flask in your purse. You may have a flask in your coat pocket. When you wake up in the morning, I'm reaching for the bottle. When I go to lunch, I'm reaching for the bottle. When I come home in the evening, after that long day of folks getting on my last nerve, I'm definitely reaching for that bottle. But in reaching for that bottle, there's a gap that's being created. I'm relying more on a drink than on my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm relying more on bourbon or on vodka or on gin to get me through the day. I become a functional alcoholic. I can tote the word. I can say the scripture, but you best to believe if I miss getting that drink, all hell is going to break loose. Somebody say gap. Another gap. We got to acknowledge it. You are giving more of your time and resources and energy to MGM, to Horseshoe, to Maryland Live, to Dover Downs, or to Charlestown, that's a gap. If I'm standing in the line playing Keno or Scratchers, that's a gap. If I'm investing more of my time and energy into the putting money in an empty barrel rather than bringing it into the house of the Lord, that's a gap. If you can't say amen, you can say ouch. It's all right. We just calling out some gaps today. If you're giving more of your time and energy and resources to the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, the U.S. Soccer Federation, or the National Hockey League, that's a gap. Mm-hmm. It's quiet. That's all right. If you get more excited about what's going on a basketball court or on a football field, rather than coming into the house and thanking God that he has allowed you to see another day, that's a gap. That's a gap. We just calling some things out today. Tell your neighbor, say, stay connected. What does this bottle represent for you? Is it OxyContin? Is it Percocet? Is it cannabis? That's weed. Come on. Come on. Come on, y'all. Are you relying more on medicine than the healing power of Jesus Christ? That's a gap. That's a strong gap for somebody. Mm-hmm. Children, I ain't forget about you. And some adults. Amen. Amen. If you spend more time, energy, and resources playing video games, that's a gap. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all aren't even focusing on the words that are coming out of my mouth right now because of a gap in your life. Some of you all can't even focus on what God is saying to you right now because of a gap in your life. But if we got to get connected, guess what? We got to call it out. I was going to go to the store and buy a Ken and a Barbie doll, but I didn't have time to do that. So I went to the internet and I got this cutout. Who is this for you? Who is the man or woman on this picture that has you separated from what God wants you to do? Who are you spending your time and energy on? When you hear the Spirit of God saying, leave it alone. How many more times does the guy have to tell you, leave it alone? How many more times does that person have to walk away from you or hurt you, or defame you, or degrade you before you realize that that's not who God has for you? Touch your neighbor and say, that's a gap. That's a gap. This represents technology. Are you more vested in Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat? Are you more interested in what's going on Twitter than you are about what the Word of God says? Mm-hmm. Are you wondering right now who's posting on social media? Are you looking at social media right now, even while I'm talking? Because you're more interested in who's updating their status than hearing what God has to say to you. That's a gap. That's a gap. Mm-hmm. We're just calling some stuff out today. The almighty dollar. Are you chasing after the almighty dollar? Spending time and energy and resources chasing the almighty dollar. but you won't spend a tenth of the percent of energy chasing after the will of God. That's a gap. Mm-hmm. That's a gap. You right, baby, that's a gap. Here's a flash index card with a question mark on it. If your issue is not on this table, what is it? If the gap that is keeping you from being all who God has called and created you to be is not on that table, and I would even be willing to say for most of us, we have several gaps on that table. But if you're bold enough to lie to yourself and say that you don't have a gap that's on that table, what is it? What does this question mark represent for you? I don't know. Something I want you to sit with. But even in the midst of it, somebody say, but God. Even in the midst of all of our gaps that exist in life, God gives us hope. I'm thankful to serve a God who, even in the midst of my triflingness, still provides me a way out. I'm thankful to serve a God who, even time after time after time after time, I turn my back on him. And he still says, but I want you. Even though I don't deserve his grace, he still extends it to me. And in order for us to humble ourselves, we have to recognize that there's a gap. The second thing that God admonishes us to do after we humble ourselves and after we recognize that there is a gap is that we have to pray. We have to establish a communication with God. Now, I'll be honest with you. Oftentimes, when we talk about communication, we get it twisted in the process. And for those of you all who are not sure how communication works, here's a good diagram to kind of show you how that works. Communication only happens when there is a message given from a sender and it is received by the receiver. And there's a transcription or feedback process that you have, and oftentimes it is a back and forth exchange that takes place. So I say something, your brain interprets it, you come up with an opinion, and you give a thought back to me, and that's how we end up having communication relationships. And oftentimes, if we be honest with ourselves, we don't really communicate with God. We don't. And the reason why I say we don't communicate with God is because we think God is a genie in a bottle. God, give me this. God, move me here. God, open this door. God, open that door. And God is like, hello, hello. I have something to say. If you notice, there's a double-sided arrow. For those of you all who have ever taken math, when you see a double-sided arrow, it's a reciprocal, meaning that something goes forward, but also something comes back. And see, oftentimes, because in our spiritual lives, we are not connected into God, and we're not connected into what God is saying, we're not able to receive what God has for us. You may ask, well, how do I know that? If you are still where you were spiritually, January 1st, as you are on April 22nd, that's a gap. That's a problem. If you are not spiritually growing day by day, that's a problem. And you have to ask yourself the question, what is going on in my communication relationship? And I guarantee you, if you had a problem with your cell phone, you'd be running to Sprint, you'd be running to AT&T, you'd be running to Verizon talking about, y'all better fix that. But we go year after year after year after year, and our communication with God is broken down. We're like, oh, we good. The Lord knows my heart. Reverend Hall, you know, I know what the Word of God says, and I'm going to get myself together eventually. Mm-hmm. You know, I still got some playing I got to do. I still got some player in me. You know, I still got to sow my royal oats out here in the world before I come to God. I still got a little more bottles to empty out before I come to God and I get connected to him in the way that he desires for me. You got to pray. After you acknowledge that there is a gap, you have to have established communication with God. The same way that you get upset when your signal is not at all a strong signal, that's the same way you need to get upset when you are not connected into what God has for you. What would it look like if Emory Grove was a church full of people who had a committed relationship with God? What would it look like? What would it look like in your spiritual life if you made God your Savior and, more importantly, your Lord? What drama would stop happening in your life? What people would drop out of your contact list? How your blood pressure would go down? You might even be able to get off the medication. How you would be able to sleep better at night if only you would connect in to what God has for you. Stop running. Pay attention. Tell your neighbor, pay attention. After we pray, the next part of the verse says, "And seek my face." Now, if you met somebody for the first time, and for those of you all who were married, even if you think back to when you first met your spouse, you were intentional about seeking that person out. You wanted to know what she wore, what color her favorite color was. You wanted to know what his favorite food was so you could have it on the table when he gets home. You wanted to know what his or her birthday was. You wanted to make sure you documented your anniversary. But when it comes to the word of God, we just sit and do nothing. You got to take action. Action is a moving word. I can't passively sit by and say, well, God's going to work it out. How long you been saying that? How long have you been saying that you're waiting for God to do something in your life? But you still sitting. People passing you by. Oh, look at how the Lord is blessing them. If God is blessing your neighbor, guess what that means? He's in the neighborhood. And if God can bless your neighbor and move things on behalf of your neighbor, why can't he do that for you? He can do it. The sister stood up this morning and talked about how God blessed her. God healed her body. But if we're not actively seeking out God, if we're not actively pressing into what God has for us, you will miss what God has for you. If you want to be a passive-aggressive person, you will miss what God has for you. If you're not willing to seek God and seek after what God has for you, he will pass you by. Don't be that one. Tell your neighbor, don't be that one. After you seek his face, then he says, turn away. Make the choice to choose a different path. Oftentimes, Pastor Warner, if we be honest with ourselves, it's not that the enemy holds us where we are. Yeah. The devil doesn't make you do anything. The devil, last time I checked, and based upon the God that I serve, really has no power and authority that God does not give him in my life. And so, therefore, I make a choice to choose a different path. Every day I wake up, I make a choice for God. Every day somebody gets on my nerves, I make a choice to not cuss them out. Every day somebody gets on my last nerve at work, I make a choice to keep my job and not go off on them. And in the same way, we have to make a choice for God. in those situations and circumstances that come up in your life, in those situations and circumstances that might seem overwhelming for you, in those situations and circumstances where you have two different arguments going on in your head. Do I serve God? Do I please myself? Do I serve God? Do I please myself? Do I serve God? Do I please myself? You have to make a choice. The choice is yours. Do you choose to go this way? Do you choose to go that way? Or do you choose to go another way? But in getting connected to what God has for you and staying connected to the vision that God has for you and staying connected to the vision that God has for Emery Grove, it's important that you make a choice on what direction you're going to go in. Don't teeter back and forth. Oh, today I make one choice. I'm going to be with y'all today. Tomorrow, I don't know. I may have to go another way. Oh, I don't like what was said to me. I'm gone. Oh, but wait a minute. The choir sound good. Let me come on back. They're doing new things over there at Emery Grove. Okay, I'm with y'all. Hey, praise the Lord. But wait a minute. They're asking me to make sacrifice. Oh, I got to go. Make a choice. Make a choice. Are you choosing to be with what God has for you, or are you choosing to remain where you are? Only you can make that choice. Choose ye this day. Choose. Who will you serve? You gonna continue to serve the bottle? You gonna continue to serve the casino? You gonna continue to serve that man or that woman? Choose ye this day who you will serve. And after all that is said and done, after I acknowledge there's a gap, after I seek after God, after I turn from my wicked ways, there's a promise. All of this change and transition that God is trying to take you to is not for nothing. And in the promise, he says, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. I don't know about you, but every day I turn on the news, I'm like, God, we need a healing. Every time I think about what's going on at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, every time I think about what's going on in our school systems, every time I think about what's going on in our nuclear family, I say, God, we need a healing. But you got to stay connected. If you want God to heal you, you must be connected. Let me say that again. If you want God to heal you, you've got to be connected. Your connection has to be strong, because as you go throughout various situations and circumstances in your life, that connection is going to be your lifeline. That connection is going to be the difference from you trying to kill yourself or the difference between you trying to walk victoriously in life. That difference is going to be you pressing into God, or that difference is going to be you continuing to allow the enemy to further extend that gap that's going on in your life. And so the question becomes, do you want to be connected? Some of you may say no. And that's fine. Be honest with yourself. If you want to remain where you are, be honest with yourself. Don't try to play the role. Don't try to play that everything's all right. Be honest with yourself and be honest with the true and the living God so that God can begin the process of making you whole. One of the first steps in the AA and NA process is confession. You cannot be healed if you're not willing to confess what the problem is. If drugs is your problem, confess it. I'm not saying you got to stand up and confess it in church. Confess it to God. If alcohol is your problem, confess it. If lying and cheating is your problem, confess it. Everybody else around you can see the effects of it. Everybody else around it can see what's going on in your life. But you have to get to the point where you're willing to confess. Not to me. Not to Pastor Warner. But you have to be willing to confess to God. The one who made you. The one who can see all those things you think you're doing in the dark. He can see you. All those thoughts that you have in the middle of the night, he can hear them. All of the scheming and the lying and the backstabbing that you're doing, God can see you. Don't get it twisted that you are smarter than the true and the living God. Don't ever get that twisted. That you can outlive, you can outsmart, or you can outdo the true and the living God. And if you are in that mentality and you have that thought, I am so sorry to tell you that that is not the case. But what I will tell you is that there is a God who stepped out of heaven because he knew that on April the 22nd at 12:30 in the afternoon that you were going to be at 8200 Emory Grove Road. That you were going to be tuned in to Facebook Live. And that you were going to hear what the Word of God had to say to you. And he wants to extend the invitation for you to get connected. You've been waddling back and forth. You've been struggling for so long. And the Spirit of God is saying, just stop. Come on. I have wholeness for you. I desire wholeness for you. I desire peace in your life. I desire you to live a better quality. But all you have to do is get connected. And so if you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about today, I invite you to come. To get to know a man who loved you despite of your triflingness. Who loved you despite of the gaps that exist in your life. And not only does he love you, but he wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to know your inner workings. He wants to know your inner thoughts. He wants to be in fellowship with you so that he can grow you to all that he's called and created you to be. And so as we stand to our feet this morning, if you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about, I invite you to come.